Hello, people.
Hello.
All right, so we're just going to continue the series of Was Anissa on Time?
Guys, today, today on this series, Anissa was on time.
Yes, and guess what? She was early and brought me coffee, so let's go.
Let's go.
She's redeeming herself slowly but surely.
Coffee's the way to do it. It's a great good morning text.
It really
is. Would you agree, Haley?
Yeah, that's my favorite text to get. What kind of coffee do you want? I'm like, oh. My gosh,
Haley, would you like to tell our viewers your coffee order?
Yes, I get a venti hot caramel macchiato. And if I go to any other coffee place, always has some sort of caramel latte, caramel whatever. I just love caramel.
Nice.
What about you?
Guys, let me put you on a hot white chocolate mocha with 3 pumps of toffee nut. Your life won't be changed. It's
stop.
So good. It's actually
that sounds
really good.
So good.
It's so good.
I love the white chocolate mocha.
Okay.
Why did I just forget the whole name?
You're like,
I'm like looking around like, what? I'm like, okay, maybe I actually don't like it. Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the exciting news for today. All right. So if you're new to us or if this is the second time you're listening to our podcast, my name is Haley.
And I'm Anissa.
And we're so excited that you're listening. So we kind of just wanted to really quickly touch on our name change of our podcast. So now it's A Bottle of Crime. I think that originally whenever me and Anissa were texting about this, we had just come up with the wine and crime together. It was something that we wanted to do as a little hobby, nothing crazy, and just like kind of start and just kind of show our friends and just get out our, I don't know, just like our interest in murder podcasts and just be able to tell others who wanted to listen. So we did not really look into if other people had names, and yes, that could be unprofessional, but like I said, it was more of just like we're just passing this around to our friends, not thinking it was going to be something that was listened by others. And so that was our bad on that part, and we wanted to just apologize for that because we know that the other podcast has been around since 2017 and is really taking off and really popular. And so we wanted to apologize, and we changed our name, and we hope that everyone can just keep listening and just enjoy these fun, this fun time with us, and yeah.
Oh yeah, a bottle of crime is way, way better than a glass of wine for sure. Also, on another note, we said that we might have our podcast come out every Wednesday, but you know, we're college students and life happens sometimes, so just don't expect for our podcast to come out on a strict day every week. It just will come out when it comes out, and hopefully you guys will just be as smooth with this transition with us as we are.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So at least every 2 weeks, but we'll just see on the day, and yeah, we're excited to do this, and it's something that we really are passionate about and something that we are serious about. And so we want to make that clear as well, that it's just, while it is fun for us and it is a hobby thing, we also just really want to make this something that, you know, people love to listen to as well.
Okay guys, so you know how last week Haley talked a little bit about what her reason was for starting this podcast, and this week I'm just gonna tell you a little bit about my reason so you guys can get to know me a little bit better. So I am a junior at Missouri State. I am a criminology and psychology major. A little fun fact, the first day of my freshman year, I went to my advisor and she asked me what I wanted to do with my major, and I was like, I want to be a criminal profiler. I want to figure out why people do the things they do. And you know where I got that from? Criminal Minds. And she laughed at me in the face and told me that the job percentage for that career was 2%. So that dream was crushed, but you know, we're still vibing, we're still going. But recently I decided to take the psychology route of my degree and get my master's in applied behavior analysis, but I still wanted to find some reason or a thing that still gives me a pull into the criminology side of my interest. So this podcast gave me that leg, and I thought, you know, it'd be super, super cool just to learn about different true crime stories and get that experience with research and stuff like that. And like Haley said last week, just really interested in knowing why people do the things they do and what causes them, like mentally, to just flip a switch and just do something crazy. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Alright, so that was a little bit about Anissa and why she wanted to also join the podcast. So, grab your bottle of wine and get ready to hear some true crime.
All right, guys, let's get started. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the murder of 9-year-old Elizabeth Olton. Haley, have you ever heard about Elizabeth Olton?
I have never.
Awesome. Well, a fun fact about this case, it resides in our home state of Missouri.
Oh,
Very fun. Yeah,
interesting.
in the Jefferson City area, but we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So before we get started on all the good stuff, I just want to get a little background of the two people involved in this case. The first one is Alyssa Bustamante. She is 15 years old. She was born January 29th, 1994, in California, West Coast. Let's go.
Let's go.
She was actually raised by her grandparents with two other younger children. She was abandoned by her mother, Michelle, at a very, very young age. Her mom had a history of drug and alcohol abuse that led her to some jail time. Her father, Caesar, was still in prison. Was and still is in prison for a crime that is unknown.
That is interesting.
Very, very creepy, yeah.
Unknown crime.
So just to get away from that lifestyle while she was young, her grandparents moved her away from California to St. Martin's, Missouri, outside of Jefferson City, just to get away from that past life.
Huh, that's interesting to move from California to like a random part of Missouri too.
I would never want to move just to Missouri.
Yeah, like there had to, I wonder if they just like maybe had something
I
random to
mean,
make them
I
move
love
there.
Missouri, but like I would definitely stay in California for sure.
Yeah, it's just like random.
It wasn't her choice, but it's okay. So from birth until 13 years old, Alyssa was a rebellious teenager, but she was again just pretty normal teenager. She was an A and B student, went to and from school, played with friends, like all that good stuff, Were you a rebellious teenager as a kid?
I might have been.
You might have been.
Yeah.
Haley's parents would say
But
otherwise.
yeah.
I would say so myself too, but
Yeah, I feel like
I
everybody at that, like you, rebellious looks different for everybody, but I think that we all kind of go through a stage where we don't really want people telling us what to do. We want to do whatever the heck we want. We want, like, that stage where you're like, I want to be an adult. Like,
Oh
I'm
yeah.
like older than you
I
even think.
when I
I'm
was a
like,
kid, all I wanted to do was be an adult.
treat me like an adult. And now I'm an adult and I'm like, please don't treat me like
Please
that. I
don't.
want to not have responsibilities.
Exactly. Some other things Alyssa did. She attended church on the regular with her grandparents. She attended Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and was incredibly involved with the youth programs. Little fun fact, Haley and I are actually in the same life group.
Yes, that's how we met.
Absolutely. So yeah, from ages 13 to 15, she Alyssa actually her life began to take a unfortunate turn. Those teenager years can be super rough for a lot of young women. So we would see Alyssa begin to overdose on painkillers and would self-mutilate. A lot of self-harm going on and thoughts of suicide. Unfortunately,
Man,
yeah.
that's kind of sad.
It's really sad. And then in 2007, it gets real sadder. Alyssa tried to kill herself and spent 10 days in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh.
In this time frame, she was diagnosed with severe depression and put on medication. Her friend said that, well, she obviously knew she was on antidepressants.
Yeah.
We would go upstairs and she would be like, oh, I gotta take my medicine. She seemed very, very nonchalant about it, and she showed friends her scars, which is super strange because I feel like that's something you like just keep to yourself, like most people just keep to yourself, and like it's not something they want to show off. So
I also wonder too if that was like if she had, just kind of come to terms with what happened too, because I think sometimes people don't show that because they're ashamed of what happened. So, and it is such a traumatic and, very scary thing for people and like loved ones of that person.
Yeah, for
So,
sure.
but yeah, no, that's interesting.
That actually ties into this next section where it just talks about how Alyssa had a very different online persona. She was a very, very dark person online. This was after she got out of the psychiatric hospital. You would just see her personality just turn very dark on YouTube and MySpace. She would change her list of hobbies to include killing people and cutting.
That's really interesting because I feel like that's like the opposite of what people do on any sort of social media. Like you try to portray your life as like perfect and fun and exciting. It's like super like surface level and like lighthearted versus deep stuff and really,
Absolutely.
really dark things like that.
On Twitter, she would post about how she hated authority. We talked about like that rebellious stage before,
Right.
but like for Alyssa, it was a step deeper. She said that bad decisions make great stories.
Huh.
That's an interesting tweet to post.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You'll see that different nowadays. Too.
Yeah.
On YouTube, she actually posted a video trying to get her brothers to touch an electrified fence. Is that something you do with your siblings?
You know, in my free time with my siblings, that is not something that I would do. People do seem to tase each other sometimes. Yeah. I've never done that. And let me say, not something I want to do either.
I would not want to do that either, but, like, I have a taser, but I'm not going around and tasing my friends.
You're like, hey, really quick. Really quick. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, really quickly, let me get you. Yeah, no, I've never been into that, yeah, and I never will be.
Me either. So that was a little bit about 15-year-old Alyssa, and just her background and her personality.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about 9-year-old Elizabeth Olton. She was born on December 15th, 1999, the same year as yours truly, which is kind of strange and sentimental because she, you know, she is our age and would be our age today.
Right.
She lived in Jefferson City, Missouri. She was raised by Patricia Prius and Dale Olton Sr. She attended Trail Ridge Elementary School. Her friends would describe her as a girly girl and was very, very social on the playground.
Nice.
She loved music. Her favorite artists were Hannah Montana and yep, Taylor Swift.
As it should be.
not a T-Swift gal myself, but Hannah Montana, let's go.
Oh, Hannah Montana, man. I just wish I could just watch that all the time.
I love Hannah
Montana.
And
that they made more.
Absolutely. Ugh. Elizabeth also loved horses and playing with her friends and baking with her mom.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's like pretty much all I have on Elizabeth, which is really sad because there's not a lot of information out there about the victims, mm-hmm, but there's so much like behind the killers and who they are and who they were.
Right.
When you're talking about their life now, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that is interesting because, I mean, it's like, yeah, we both love to dig deeper into why, like, people do what they do for sure. So it's like you need that information in order to kind of understand where their mind was at. But it's sad too because it's like we want to celebrate the lives of the victims, and if you don't know much about them, it's just, I don't know, it is kind of sad. That's a very good point.
All right, guys, so let's set the scene. It is October 16th, 2009, a cool, crisp autumn evening.
Nice.
It was a Friday night, and Alyssa had the day off from school.
Ooh.
Alyssa, on this day off from school, decides she wants to dig 2 graves a week before Elizabeth Olton is murdered.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Digs 2 graves randomly.
Just decides to dig 2 graves. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
We'll get it. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, you do your thing, I guess, on your day off of school.
All right. So that was Friday. All right. So October 17th, it is Saturday, October 17th through 20th, 2009. Throughout the weekend and the next 2 school days, you know, she goes about her business, lives life as usual, normal teenager stuff, hangs out with friends, did her homework, did school, etc. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that. Normal teenager stuff.
Okay.
For sure. Okay. October 21st, 2009. Patty Prius, which is Elizabeth's mom, was cooking dinner, and she heard a knock at her door. At the door was 6-year-old Emma. You know, Emma is Elizabeth's 6-year-old friend from school. She lives a few houses down. And she asked if Elizabeth could come outside to play, you know? Normal little girl stuff.
Yeah, so she's cooking dinner. Her friend comes over, is like, hey, can Elizabeth play?
Yeah.
Okay, seems like a typical day.
Typical evening after school, you know?
Yeah, right.
What she didn't know was Emma was Alyssa's sister.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, so how old is Alyssa again?
Alyssa is 15 years old.
And then her sister is 6.
Is 6.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Right.
Patty was originally like, no way. It is time for dinner. I'm almost done cooking. Like, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
But, you know, being the elementary school girls they convinced Patty by screaming and jumping up and down. And the 2 girls, they really wanted to play together. So Patty was convinced.
Okay.
She eventually said yes on one condition, that Elizabeth would be home by 6 p.m. You know, before the streetlights come on, all the good stuff, you know.
Wait, that's so something my parents would have done. It's like they have their rules and they're like, my mom is a pushover. And she'd be like, okay, fine. but you got to be back.
Yeah.
At this time. So that seems pretty normal too.
I don't even remember if I even play outside as a kid because I'm not an outdoors person. But if I was like that, yes, that would be my mother.
That's hilarious.
So the girls leave and, you know, Patty goes about her business, making her food for her family, making dinner, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
That's all good. So yeah, the reason why Elizabeth had to be home by 6 p.m. because her mom knew that Elizabeth was known to be afraid of the dark. Just typical.
So she was just looking out for her. Typical 9-year-old stuff.
Just looking out for her daughter, you know. Sunset was at 6:30. So, you know, Patty was expecting her to be home well before then.
Right.
Because, you know, she's afraid of the dark.
Right.
Well, obviously, Alyssa didn't return by 6 p.m. that day, unfortunately.
Wait, Alyssa?
Alyssa. Elizabeth did not return by 6 p.m. Okay. Thank you for that catch.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
So Elizabeth did not return by 6 p.m. that day. Patty called her cell phone, but it went to voicemail. Pause. Let's just talk about how a 9-year-old has a cell phone. Did you have a cell phone at 9 years old?
Bro, what? No.
I did not. I'm like, maybe, hold on.
Still shook
what
about
was that. I, what grade was I 9 years old?
I don't know.
Fourth grade?
Yeah.
You know, I had a flip phone probably. Just
I had
text.
A phone in fifth grade, but that was strictly to text my mom when I was at things.
Yeah, and like when I got off the bus and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Well, Elizabeth had a phone, and she was living her best life. And she's the same age as us, too, which is crazy.
I know. It's, like, not... It's, like, around the time that we were younger, too. Yeah. So, it's, like, not... I don't know. That's weird.
So, Patty called her cell phone, but it went straight to voicemail. So, Patty then called Emma's guardians, you know, her grandparents, because Alyssa was raised by her grandparents.
Right, right.
You know, to see if Elizabeth was there. Elizabeth never showed up to Emma's house that evening, is what her... Emma's grandparents.
Like, said. So they didn't see Elizabeth at all?
No, not at all.
Huh.
Did not show up to the house. So Patty was like, where's my daughter?
Right.
What is happening right now? This is really suspicious. And she does what I think any parent would do and immediately calls the police and reports her daughter missing.
Yeah.
So law enforcement shows up like 15 minutes later and starts to question Emma's grandmother. She was like, bro, Elizabeth was never at my house. Like,
wait, so when they said that they were going to go play, I know that they lived down the street, right? Mm-hmm. So did they ever say what they were going to do? Like, I mean, whenever I played outside, I, like, rode my bike. I, like, did all the stuff. But, like, so they were going to, I guess, go to...
I feel like Patty was just thinking that maybe they just, like, go play outside right. on the street or whatever
right.
on the sidewalk.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, not going into anyone's houses, but, like, just being a eye view of the neighborhood.
Right.
Because... they probably had, like, neighborhood watch and all that stuff.
Where, yeah.
Because there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood. But,
yeah,
you
okay.
You would just suspect that, like, her mother would just know. If, and then Elizabeth's mom would know. And then Emma's mom or grandmother would know as well, like, where.
True. Okay, yeah. Because I was like, don't just be going at the grandma because what if they were all just playing outside? You know, she might not have seen them. But,
yeah, but.
But, okay.
They were never
I mean, you have to question everybody, though. So, it makes sense. But I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. They were never at Emma's house.
Okay.
That night. So, yeah. From that point on, things started to escalate very, very quickly. Like, very quickly. By 10 p.m., the police had set up checkpoints, helicopters, dive teams, all the works, searching for 9-year-old Elizabeth Olton. There were actually a lot of, like, neighborhood watch teams and hundreds of people who, like, lived in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And just started searching the surrounding areas trying to find this little girl. I was... thinking like things probably like really escalated quickly because she was a minor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just thinking, and I don't know 100% the actual like facts on this, but I think it's like within like 24 at least to 72 hours at least. Like, I mean, it's a bad sign if you don't find them within the first few days of being missing, because it's not likely to find them alive.
No, and like with adults and stuff like that, like they're not as like they're not as like as precautious, and they're like, you're not like, let's find her right now with adults, because you know, with an adult, they could just be like one to go on their own if they want to, because they're an
and
adult.
They can survive. Like, yeah, they have the resources to survive. When kids, it's like they for sure something is wrong.
It's
if
like
you can't.
Instant, like there's something wrong.
Yes,
if a kid's missing
for sure. Yeah.
So while things start to escalate like very quickly, while all of this is happening, Patty is still trying to call Elizabeth's phone, but each time it went back to voicemail.
Okay.
No, there's no answer, nothing is happening. So the focus was shift back to who Elizabeth was with before she went missing.
Right.
So Elizabeth, Emma was questioned by the police. Remember, Emma is 6-year-old Elizabeth's friend. Emma was saying that they were playing, but then Elizabeth got stuck in a thorn bush, which is very suspect. Again, random thorn bush.
Yeah.
This happened, Emma was saying that this must have caused her a lot of pain, because then Elizabeth started to scream and cry. You know, Emma did what she thought was best and just called for her sister, Alyssa, to come and help her get Elizabeth out of the thorn bush.
Okay.
So, Alyssa enters the scene. Law enforcement started to get suspicious when they realized all of the children in the neighborhood had been accounted for, except Alyssa. What do you think about that, Haley?
So, Emma came back, and, they knew they had Emma. They were interviewing Emma about what happened. But Alyssa's the other one that isn't found.
Yeah, no. All the neighborhood kids are, accounted for. You know how, they said, when it's a minor, things start to quickly. So they had to start counting, every single kid in the neighborhood just to make sure everyone's there and everyone's safe. But no one knew where Alyssa was during this time frame.
And I'm going to be honest. At this point, from what I know, I would be worried about Alyssa's life, too. I would be thinking, who took both of them? If they were both together, they're both kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Alyssa's 15, but I mean, still, that's kind
true.
Of alarming.
That's a good point.
And I feel like, from what I know at this point in the case, I would be like, where are the two girls who took them? I would be looking for an adult of who took them. Or are they hurt somewhere? Or,
exactly.
Yeah. So I would be just making sure that they're both okay.
All right, yeah. So that was October 21st. So now we're moving on to the next day, October 22nd, 2009. Police, they're not getting things accomplished as fast as everyone would want them to. So on October 22nd, the FBI was called.
What?
They got involved. This is getting very, very serious.
Yeah.
FBI got involved and, you know, they got smart because they're the FBI and requested an emergency ping from the phone company that is with Elizabeth's phone.
Okay.
So they traced this ping to a wooded area not too far from Alyssa and Elizabeth's home because they're neighbors.
Right.
Unfortunately, the phone died and the pinging stopped. But they did reach a kind of location.
They had the general area.
The general area of where the phone was placed.
Okay, that's good. That's a good start.
Yeah. So while all this was happening, the police department received a written note that suggested Alyssa might have had something to do with Elizabeth Olden's disappearance.
A written note?
A written note, like we're in a movie.
Oh my gosh.
Anonymous. Captain John Wheeler from Cole County Sheriff's Department said that there was an overwhelming evidence that she committed this crime. I'm just from a note.
I'm like, excuse me, sir. Tell me more.
Tell me more. Give me a little bit more about how you think Alyssa is the one.
I know.
That did this.
Because naturally, it's you don't think it's the kid.
No, you don't.
I don't care. I mean, especially, she's rebellious, but she still had basically a pretty normal life.
I don't think there was anything else that was implied, other than, she had her history of, mental health and all that stuff, depression.
That's true, yeah.
Watch, but,
But still.
From that, you don't think she's going to go kidnap a kid and murder her.
They
just jumped the gun, I think, on that one.
Right.
But, so we're on the next day, October 23rd, 2009. Alyssa is picked up from her home and brought in for questioning.
Okay, so she's back. She, got back home.
She's been back home from the mental health hospital. She's just living
Life. They lost, she wasn't accounted for.
Yes. Okay. So, she is back home.
Okay.
They know where she is. And so she's picked up for questioning because they're suspect of her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, to the police, she admitted that she skipped school the exact day Elizabeth went missing, but stated she knew nothing about her disappearance whatsoever.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, well, that kind of goes against Emma's story, too.
Yeah, for sure. So, during the interview, searchers had found what looked to be a makeshift grave in a wooden area behind Alyssa's home.
I forgot about the graves.
Yeah, remember those two graves that on Friday she skipped school?
I forgot about that.
Two graves.
Yep.
Well, the police found those graves, of course.
Oh, yes, they did.
Don't think why she thought they wouldn't, but yeah, they found those graves. And they actually took Alyssa to the scene of those graves, where she told them that she just dug holes for fun, you know, for dead animals that she found.
Okay.
Give them a real little funeral. So yeah, found that grave. So yeah, during that time, investigators obtained a warrant to search Alyssa's house. And you know what they found in her house, Haley?
I'm kind of scared.
They found a diary.
Oh, yes.
A diary.
Classic.
Because we're 15 years old.
Yeah.
And at this time,
yes.
We wrote in diaries. Did you write in diaries as a kid?
I wasn't much of a journaler or writer still to this day, but I had like random stuff in there.
I am embarrassed to say that I did write in diaries as
a kid. Oh, we should look at those.
No, I'm pretty sure they're like trash, burned.
Oh my
gosh. The things
gosh.
That were wrote in there, no, were so embarrassing. Probably about some like stupid boys or something like that. Oh,
right, just like random stuff seems so dramatic at the time.
But yeah, okay, so they found the diary. And they obviously looked inside the diary to see what they found. So they read the diary, and on the last journal entry, it was dated October 21st, 2009. Does that date sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
All right, you know
was
why?
Yeah, tell me.
That was the same day of Elizabeth Olden's disappearance.
Yes.
Guys, it's getting heated.
Oh, no, no.
So, there was a few paragraphs written, but she had scribbled over all the words, except for the last line.
Oh.
The last line read, "Now I've got to go to church."
Oh.
That's really weird. Why would she write that? Why does Alyssa need to go to church?
Right.
She's already a churchgoer.
True.
She just goes to church. She's part of the youth program. Why does she need to go to church specifically
right
on this day? What happened before?
And people do say that. That's kind of like a thing people say.
Like confession.
Right. Like when they feel like they have to go
repent for their
sins.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
They have
like,
to go to church to,
All right. So the FBI is here. You know, the FBI is smart. So they decided to use a blue light to read the rest of Alyssa's journal.
Oh, cool.
And it states as follows.
Ugh.
I want to warn viewers, it gets a little creepy and disturbing, what she wrote, so if you're not into that, just skip over this.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Quote, "I just, bad word, killed someone. I strangled them and slit their throat. Sick. And stabbed them. Now they're dead. I don't know how to feel at the moment. It was amazing. As soon as you get over the, oh my god, I can't do this feeling, it's pretty enjoyable. I'm kind of nervous and shaky though right now. Okay, I gotta go to church now. LOL." End quote. That was really disturbing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Even like when I first saw that, I was like, I'm just really uncomfortable right now.
Oh my
gosh. Like someone just, like that's her, when I think of someone writing in a journal or a diary, like
right.
They're thinking out their thoughts. That's their mindset and stuff like that. So that's just really disturbing to think that a 15-year-old is thinking these thoughts. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, writing it out.
And that's the start of literally a serial killer.
For real.
Because of the feeling that she got from that.
Yeah.
Everybody who, well, at least not everybody, I don't want to generalize this, but like a lot of people, when they become serial killers, it's mm-hmm. like they want to relive that first kill. And the feeling they felt.
That's creepy. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Like, it's like a thing that they try to, like, they kill others to try to relive that first feeling of killing somebody.
Ugh. That's
And so
really
the
disturbing.
Fact that she says it's amazing. Ugh. My heart.
So, the detectives have all this information. And,
yeah.
You know, they tell Alyssa, hey, we have your diary. We know what you wrote.
Right.
So, when they tell Alyssa this, she's like, I'm caught.
Right.
There's no reason for me to just continue lying. So eventually, Alyssa leads detectives to Elizabeth's body following a confession.
Wow.
The confession of what really happened.
Oh.
But we're going to get into that later.
Oh.
So Alyssa, who is 15 years old, is charged with first-degree murder.
Oh my gosh.
So Alyssa is charged with first-degree murder. She's been caught.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else.
She done did it, yeah.
So, you know, she might as well tell detectives what really happened.
Yeah.
So here's what Alyssa first tells the detectives what happened. She said it was an accident, claiming that they were walking and Elizabeth fell and fatally hit her head. The end.
Oh. Yep. Nice and simple.
Simple, that was it.
Hmm.
Kidding, but little did she know that they were going to recover the body. This was prior. to them recovering.
Yeah.
And they actually found out, actually just going to find out, like, what happened in the autopsy. So the detectives told her, you know, they're going to find out what actually happened when they look at her body and all that stuff.
Right.
So Elizabeth then admitted that, Alyssa then admitted that Elizabeth's throat was cut. Slit the throat.
Oh.
That's what she told him. So, you know, Alyssa's a minor, and during an investigation, she has to have a parent accompany her. So her parent or guardian at the time was her grandmother. So during this, her grandmother was with her in the interrogation.
That's so true. Well, I mean, it makes sense. I just am like, I forget in my mind, I'm like, they're charging her as an adult, obviously, and like...
Can you imagine what's going through her grandmother's mind right now?
Right. Like, the fact that she's sitting in on an interrogation with her 15-year-old granddaughter.
For a murder.
Yeah. First degree.
That's crazy.
Murder. Charged.
So, yeah, after her grandmother, Alyssa's grandmother, is hearing Alyssa tell the cops that, Elizabeth's throat slit, by the way. She couldn't take it anymore, so... Her grandmother dipped. She like was like, I gotta go. I can't listen to this anymore. So when her grandmother left the room, Alyssa then decided, hey, you know, I guess now it's time to tell them what really happened.
Oh.
So here's what actually happened to Elizabeth Olden.
I'm kinda scared.
You say that? Yes. So I wanna give a preference to the crowd that's listening. Again, if you can't handle the gruesome details, it gets kind of disturbing, creepy. Maybe skip this part. It's okay. You get the gist.
Yeah.
So on October 16th, 2009, the day that Alyssa stayed home from school, she was actually home from school because there was a parent-teacher conference. And apparently, you don't need to go to those when you're a kid. So her parents or her guardian was gone. So that's why she stayed home. So during this time, like as we know, she dug two holes in a wooden area behind her home. 5 days later, she asked her sister, Emma, to go get Elizabeth out of her home. When she did that, Emma was told to go home. So...
Oh my gosh. Straight up premeditated.
Like,
she planned this out. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just an accidental... She, like, was looking for Elizabeth specifically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow.
Which is kind of... Now that I'm thinking about it, her grandmother said that neither of them came home. Remember? Emma
and Elizabeth. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, was her grandmother lying? That because Alyssa's saying that Emma went home after that.
Oh, true.
So that's kind of creepy.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So did like her grandmother say, or did Emma tell her grandmother that they were going to go play and bring her back, or did she just come back home soon? I don't know. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
All right. So Emma goes home. So Alyssa takes Elizabeth by the hand and insisted that she had to show her something in the woods.
Hmm.
That's super creepy.
Yeah.
And suspicious. So when they both arrived at the location of the grave, Alyssa strangled Elizabeth multiple times before stabbing her 6 or 7 times in the chest.
What?
Yeah. She then slit her throat and buried her body.
I'm sorry I keep bringing this up,
no.
But I'm literally just like sitting here so shocked because I'm like, she's 15.
15 years old.
And that just goes to show when you're... brain is wired like that, it does that. I mean, around this time, like, this is a time, like, if children are going to be murderers, like, you start to see them killing animals at this time, like, they start to experiment with, like, different
stuff.
She
said,
like, that.
Like, she told the cops that she just liked to just dig the graves to bury the dead animals when she was killing the animals, like, that could be a sign.
I mean, yeah, no, that's 100%, like, that, it's okay to, like, I don't know. You know how, like, kids do weird stuff? Like, you know, we play in the dirt. We, like, see, like, all this worm. Like, I don't know. I just feel like we do weird things, too.
Yeah.
But, like, it's weird when you're killing animals. And then you're, like, I've heard of people that, like, dissect them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, really different when you're doing it in class versus I'm like a weekend getaway in the backyard killing animals.
Yeah, it's just something that just doesn't happen.
So interesting.
And we only laugh because we're nervous. I hope we referenced that last time.
yeah it's our defense mechanism, making
Absolutely.
Jokes and laughing. Yes. But
so yeah,
that's interesting.
When she was talking about this stuff, Alyssa like literally said that she only did this because she wanted to know what it was like to murder someone and just to get the thrill out of it. Like, Her dark internet personality was actually her full-time personality.
Right.
Just the thoughts going on in her head, like, mentally just very, very in a dark place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is what happened to Elizabeth Olden. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
So, of course, you remember she was tried, charged with first-degree murder. So here's just a little summary of her trial. So 2 years later, a trial date was set, but there was a setback. The defense team filed a motion to suppress her confession because some of the questions the police asked during the interrogation, they weren't permissible under the Missouri law because she was a juvenile.
Okay.
Minor situations.
Right.
For sure. So the judge agreed that it was deemed unconstitutional for juveniles to be sentenced life without the possibility of parole, because that's what she was going to be get, like, for first degree murder.
Right.
You're either getting the death sentence or you're getting life without parole.
Right.
So that confession was thrown out because she was a minor. The prosecutors offered her a plea deal of second degree murder, with a 10 to 30 year sentence of life in prison with the chance of parole.
What?
So I was thinking a little bit about this.
Yeah.
She confessed to the murder, and it was clear that it was premeditated because she had asked Emma to do all these things to get her alone and stuff like that. The fact that she's now, that premeditation is getting cut off, and now she's getting second degree murder is crazy to me. Like, we are pretty safeguarded when you're a minor doing this stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I thought that you could be at some point, and I'm not really good on this whole, like, I always have to, like, I've learned it, but I have to continuously keep looking up, like, all these rules and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought you could be charged as an adult when you did something like that. Like, I thought... I guess I've never really looked into cases like this where they've gone to prison and stuff. Like, I don't really know of any child cases where this has happened, I guess. But
I mean, you don't really hear about a lot of children killing.
Right, but people. I thought at some point you're charged as an adult. You guys listening, sorry if I sound like I don't know anything. But I just, I mean, you know what I mean? Because then I'm like, she obviously in her journal said it was amazing. And that's really alarming because
it was definitely premeditated. But she's basically just, like, getting off.
Well, yeah, and then however much time she's in jail, it's like, what if she's on good behavior? Is that considered? Because then she's going to get out even earlier.
Because the possibility of, with the chance of parole.
Right. So then I'm like, then we're letting out a person who literally loves to kill.
Yeah.
Because they said it was amazing. And I don't think that's something you change by going to prison. It's something that, like, you are wired like that, which is really scary.
Yeah. For sure.
Wow.
So the defense team, they accepted this deal because 10 to 30 years with a chance of parole, you know, they're going to take that.
It,
they
were
for sure going to take that. So before she was sentenced, Alyssa decided to address Elizabeth's family because they were there, of course, during the trial.
Yeah.
She said to them, quote, "I can't understand what you guys are going through. I'm sorry for that. If I could give my life to bring her back, I would, and I'm sorry." How do you feel about that?
I'm surprised that she said that.
I'm surprised too. I mean, it was 2 years later.
Yeah.
But maybe she was, like, in a different mindset than she was back then. Like, maybe she's gotten the help that she needs.
Right.
I guess people can change in that way, but after you murder someone, I really don't like the whole sympathy thing of, if I could bring them back, if I could trade my life for them.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Because it happened, and it really, to me, and this might sound heartless, but, like, to me, it feels like that means nothing to me right now because I'm like, because they are gone and you did do it.
Exactly. So, and just imagine what Elizabeth's family is thinking when she's saying this. And I'll tell you what they're thinking.
Okay.
Elizabeth's mom was not happy when she said that. She literally stood up during this trial and made a statement declaring Alyssa was not human and that her speech was so impassioned that the judge had to ask her to stop talking. Like, they had to kick Elizabeth's mom out because she was just going off on them. So it's just really unfortunate that, of course, that a 9-year-old girl was murdered from her neighbor, just trying to get a kick out of something, get a kick out of life.
Trying
she didn't get to live.
Just see what killing someone felt like.
Yeah.
Also, not something people feel. People who are not killers don't think that. For
sure.
So, and being a mom, it's like, for sure, I would act, I mean, you have any right to act however you want when your child has been murdered. I mean, that is so sad.
It's super sad, but yeah. So Haley, that's the murder of 9-year-old Elizabeth Olton.
That was crazy.
It's really sad. Just, like, done reading this, it is super sad.
Yeah, because
she was 9 years old. But, like, but then it's also, like, Alyssa, it just really makes me, it's an uneasy feeling because she just wanted to do it just to get a kick out of it, just to figure out, like, what it was like to murder someone. And I know that's just such an unsettling feeling for me.
It is. It is unsettling. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure, something to think about. I think that's very interesting. I want to look into more of these cases too and just see how all that plays out.
For sure.
So yeah. Wait, when would she get out?
This was in 2012 that her trial was set. So it's probably soon, honestly.
Yeah,
2021, so.
Dang.
She could be already out for all I know.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Gosh.
I haven't read anything that said she's out, but, right. Soon, probably. Yeah.
All right, guys. So thank you for listening. If you guys would ever feel so inclined, you can totally follow us on Instagram.
Shameless plug.
Yes. A Bottle of Crime is just the name. And, yeah, just go ahead and share our podcast with anybody who you feel like loves true crime, like all of us. And also, in 2 weeks, I will be presenting the next case. So, yeah.
Yeah. I hope that you guys really enjoyed listening to my cringy first episode. Hopefully, I'll be better in the future. But thanks for sticking it out with us and keeping true to Haley and Anissa.
Yes. Bye. Bye.